speak now of new methods of attack.
Camille, so in San Francisco.
The Trojan horse.
I'm in New
York. Yep.
The fifth column.
Very important that you know where we all are.
So now that my completely unauthorized bootleg video of the Dissonant Dialogues has been rightfully taken down, Michael.
What happened?
So I was made aware that there was a video of Michael's debate with Bree Joy and Eli Lake and Jake John Klein and about Gaza at the Dissident Dialogues. All four dissidents were there on stage. And so there was a video, and I just saw like the little bug that they have.
Yeah.
Bug is that's fancy speak for a little printed matter on
the screen. Yeah.
In the corner of the screen that's a Dissident Dialogues, like in the font. And so, of course, it was Andrew Wimsatt, the great Busty Wimsatt, who had found this thing. And I'm like, that's awesome. Let's, so it seemed to me as if Dissident Dialogues had made it public somewhere. So
yeah, they did not.
Throw it up on the Paloma YouTube, and then we can embed it in the weekly newsletter, because everyone was like, where can I see it? So I had it up unauthorizedly, and I'm sure they're going to sue us.
Unauthorizedly.
They told me, they were like, oh, wait a second, I just heard that the Fifth Column posted this debate. I was like,
the
Ooh.
Fifth Column did not.
The Fifth Column did not post this debate. And
I totally did. Fifth Column, 100%.
No. That's not Fifth Column. That is not. Matt Welch.
That's Matt Welch. Yeah.
Acting on his own with no authorization.
I was like, Lord.
And not on behalf of the Fifth Column, on behalf of Paloma Media.
Totally.
That is a renegade media company.
That is a renegade.
1,000%
yeah.
Fifth Column yeah. production. I'm just an employee. I was taking orders, as per usual.
You're the Eichmann of this podcast. I was just following the orders. But no, that was an unauthorized bootleg. But they were obviously putting together like a real cut of this.
Sure they'll have it for a low, low price as well. But since that happened, and so our other listeners who didn't jump on the unauthorized bootleg in the very, very brief shelf life that it existed, because I immediately took it down, of course, when upon being scolded. Everyone wants to know how you rated your experience. We have several emails about your performance, and I could read from some of them or not. But do you have some reflections you want to share with the class, Mr. Monahan?
I suppose.
But can we just take a beat, though, quickly?
Let's take a beat. I'll tell you what. We'll get to that. Yeah. Why don't we? Because
it's Cinco de Mayo.
It's Cinco de Mayo.
And I got to wind up to that. But I do want to get to that.
That's a big
question.
So I'm going to wind up to that.
I saw her tweeting some things, and it looks like maybe she didn't like you. But
yeah, you could probably say that. Yeah. I was very nice to her, but I mean, whatever. Do we have something that's unrelated to that so I can kind of loosen up? We can get it about,
you
get
it
about 15, 20 minutes in. And
get your shoulder working. It is Cinco de Mayo, Camille. It sounds like you had some thoughts. You want to get on your big sombrero like we did on the Fifth Column? Not Fifth Column, the Independence. I've already forgotten the name.
Yes. It's been supplanted in your memory.
It is. It exists out there, and I really should have put out on the weekend links instead of bootleg videos, the actual video that exists. Of our guacamole contests.
Sometimes I wonder, because I don't remember why it got canceled, and I'm like, I know. Every time you mention it, I figure out why it got canceled.
That's just it. It did not get canceled. That show was not canceled. Was retooled.
Without you
less,
and Matt.
Less us. In fact, not even less us. Yeah. Like we were relegated to, why don't you come in once a week for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. It was nice of them to, pretend that they weren't firing you.
They canceled the show. It just created Kennedy. But what we found out during the guacamole making contest on the Independence some 10 plus years ago is that Camille is totally bribable if you just give him gin and tonics on air.
Oh.
Say, whoever gave me that gin and tonic on air, that is definitely the best guacamole of the two that I'm tasting.
Amazing that these episodes have not been memorialized somewhere. You can find easier bootleg videos of conferences this weekend than you can of the guacamole contest, but I'm sure it's online.
Somebody will find it. True. It is definitely somewhere on the Paloma YouTube page. Trust me. Camille, if you had Cinco de Mayo thoughts, otherwise we definitely have other emails about anti-racism in Shogun and plenty of other things.
Oh, wait. No, no. Talk to me about Shogun. What on earth is going on there?
Okay. So this one, let me scroll down here. Oh, you know what? No, we'll do the melanated baby maybe later. This is from Aaron. We get nothing but the best emails. Hello, men of culture and Camille. It's amazing the variations.
I mean, that one makes no sense because I do it for the culture. And by it, I mean all of the things. So that's
perfectly explicable to me, but all right, go ahead.
The and culture capitalized is from your point of view is a question maybe we can get to later when we get into the rap beefs, which I'm now totally in.
Which makes me very happy, Matt Wells. I couldn't be happier that you are probably more interested in the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef than me, which is great.
I am. I'm 100%. And I believe everything, believe all Kendricks. And it's totally great. Anyways, Aaron says, I was anxiously looking forward to the Hulu FX adaptation of Shogun, which, and I'm now Matt talking here, Camille totally loves Shogun.
I love it.
Alert listeners know, having only first read the novel last year, I'll admit to being what the internet derisively calls a weeb, which denotes a nerdy obsession with Japanese culture. I didn't know that, actually. Unlike the typical target of that epithet, I like the sexist, racist, jingoistic, wantonly decapitating culture of feudal Japan.
Yeah, that's the better one.
From the safety of my 21st century Western home, amen. Not the pansy ass, notice me senpai, goody two shoes bullshit they export today.
Yeah, I call that the post-atomic bomb Japan. That's usually what you mark the starts in 1945, really.
In the immediate post-atomic bomb Japan, they had all those incredible monster movies. So, like, that's mine. Kimba and Speed Racer,
by the way, was essentially Douglas MacArthur in every movie. That's what it was representing.
Which, excuse me, I just bit my tongue as it's stuck to my cheek, he says. I don't buy that, Aaron, at all. Anyways, I watched Shogun until the 7th episode. I'd notice some minor stumbles as early as the first episode, but it became clear over the following 6 that the writers had set out to decenter whiteness, as I'm sure they would put it, which they did by almost entirely removing Blackthorne's character arc from the story. Such a revision isn't even necessary to avoid making a story set in feudal Japan all about a white guy, because anyone who's read the novel will tell you that Toranaga is the primary driver of the plot. Mm-hmm. That should be obvious from the name of the book, but we're talking about contemporary Hollywood, so you'll have to excuse their lack of reading comprehension. As always, love the show, and this is an important PS, especially because it's Cinco de Mayo, which is the 2nd year anniversary of us being on Substack. PS, I've unsubscribed from every podcast.
Correct.
Except the 5th column.
Correct. Goddamn right.
Because so I'm unemployed.
Answer right, Camille, when he talks about Shogun, because this is the only thing he subscribes to. So it's the weight of his subscription is on your shoulders.
I may be in coach, but at least I'm on the plane.
That's a very good line.
Let's go. You know what? You just got a free upgrade, brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
upgrade.
In spirit.
You know what? I think I'll upgrade him either way. The guy's got no job.
You're going to get a lot of emails.
That's one and done. You pick the one homeless guy in the group and you say, you get the money, and then you walk away.
Look, I appreciate that email, and I actually understand the criticism. That said, the demotion of Blackthorne in the series, the FX series, I think is probably fine and doesn't smart nearly as much as one might expect. Perhaps because that actor does a fine job, but perhaps not fine enough to have more screen time. And quite frankly, I like it being a little bit more Japan-centric. Like, you get lost in the narrative. I thought the whole thing was just completely engrossing and really, really well done. There were one or two episodes, particularly the flashback episode, that I didn't love as much as the rest of the series. That might have been episode 7 or 8. But overall, I think the whole thing is really, really well done. And I will again acknowledge that, of course, studios have been doing this thing where they try to put more persons of color and to gender swap various characters in order to pursue a particular agenda. That said, it doesn't prevent them from occasionally making something really good despite such efforts. And I think in this particular case, they managed to do that. I was invested in it the entire way through. There were very few moments that didn't feel authentic to me. And I think it had copious quantities of violence and misogyny for people who are into that sort of thing. And was, in that respect, quite authentic. I mean, every single time someone committed seppuku on screen, I'm cringing and like my Apple Vision Pro is nearly falling off of my face, which is of course how I watched the series.
That's awful.
But I mean, honestly, like it just is so good. You should go watch it. And
is there again, anyone
I'm glad,
in a,
I'm glad you've
in
watched
a
17th, it. You should watch the rest.
Is there anyone in like a 17th century wheelchair? I don't know what they were using at the time. No.
Okay. Now, obviously, they just kill those people, or those people kill themselves, so they're not a burden to their families.
Yes, a disgrace to their culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I remember I talked on the show about that one that my daughter was watching, which I can't remember the name of it, but everyone emailed about it because it's a bunch of famous books, and apparently the guy who wrote the book is unbearable. But the version that she was watching was on Disney Plus, and like literally everybody was like had crutches or was in a wheelchair. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm wondering if there was even that like Zen character who's like blind but also really smart as a result of it, or has something like superpowers. Not even. I mean, everyone was mostly beautiful. A couple of old people. But they're intact for the most part.
I mean, it's not surprising that when you do the Richard Chamberlain version, that there's like, you know, centering some white guy, because it's made by a bunch of white guys. Because then
it would
you
make
try
sense
to
for
Japanese,
it to be a Westerner. Yeah.
You try to do a bunch of Japanese characters and you screw it up, and then you get in trouble for not understanding Japanese culture. You're going to lose either way. But the funniest thing, but like, it was favorite, like, where we are now in a much more globalized world, and it's much easier to watch television from other countries, et cetera, or understand those cultures, or kids. I mean, kids were not getting into Japanese culture in the 70s, primarily because it was difficult to get that stuff. It wasn't like easy to see these studio, giblets, whatever it's called. And Ghibli. All that stuff. Like, I mean, my favorite complaint from back then was from British people. When they said, why are all the Nazis have British accents? Like there was like an evil thing. Look this up. People used to complain about this all the time. And my response to that was very simple. It was how American people signaled in a movie that the guy was not from the same country. That was it.
Yeah.
That was literally it. It wasn't because they didn't like, you could do it like, I know you're talking like this. And like, that's really annoying. So they'd just be like, oh, I don't know. Take him to the concentration camp. And it was like really... The evil voice was the British voice, but it was only because it was supposed to be the differentiator. That was basically it.
True also of the swords and sandals picks from the 50s, Ben-Hur and
whatever. That's right. Yeah.
You had it. It's true in the first, we're doing this on May 5th, right? It was May the 4th yesterday. It's true in the first 20 minutes of Star Wars. Like Princess Leia has a British accent in the first 20 minutes of Star Wars. And then say, we'll just let the C-3PO handle it from here.
Also very common we mentioned this the other day, but because we're talking about Caligula, Ben-Hur has a writing credit for Gore Vidal too, by the way, in that movie. Very odd. But wait, what were we just talking about? I just had a stroke. That's incredible.
British accents, foreign movies.
Ben-Hur, that stuff. I was going to say that when Princess Leia fades out on her accent, the most common version of that now is the fade out on the Boston accent. And you can see this in The Departed. Because like the first scene, like, hey, Blair, the fucking guys, get the cops. And then like by the end, it's like, oh my goodness, Boston. It's just like people completely forget they're supposed to be from Boston in movies. So, and by the way, congratulations to the Bruins. Unbelievable game last night.
Even I watched that goal. Just SportsCenter, but
yeah. Totally. Congrats. I totally watched that. I definitely know what you're talking about.
We had someone, I'm not going to read the email because it's making fun of my snake.
I think you have to read that email.
When he controls the emails and then does something fully idiotic the previous episode, you're never going to hear about it.
Nope.
What happened? He controls emails.
Did not happen. But
that was Nick.
This Nick.
This is Grand Flag.
My Nick.
My commitment to this podcast is so overwhelming that I'm willing to make myself look like a total fool in order to make people happy and laughing at me.
Yes. You're like the Chris Farley of this podcast. You fall through a table, take your shirt off and dance with Patrick Swayze just for a laugh. Yeah.
No, it was totally a bit, except not at all. Done.
And one. No one. Well, it became a bit. That's fine.
That's true.
Oh my God. I just read the email, but I didn't even cut and paste it. I was going to okay, let's do it. And I didn't even do that because I heard it. I'm sorry. It's from Michael C. I will read it. Okay. I was only going to reference it because it referenced the John Adams.
You do understand that my initials are Michael C. Just if you're trying to find the provenance of that email.
The subject line is something close to "Everyone that drunk watched John Adams knows that there wasn't a snake flag." Long time subscriber here. Hey boys, just a regular level though, because the harsh reality is I do fly coach. I'm only gold medallion on Delta right now, so I don't get upgraded to first class anymore. I just got back from a conference in Orlando, and the best that happens is maybe Comfort Plus. My favorite is that my first row of... What do you come and stop now? I'm not going to read this whole stuff about your dumb things here. Anyway, probably like many other listeners, I've rewatched the John Adams series on HBO recently at home with a few gin tonics. I love the outro with all the various flags. Join or die with chopped up pieces of a snack. There's also that appeal to heaven one with a pine tree on it for some reason. I'm just trying to imagine how drunk someone would have to be to remember a don't step on snake flag. Maybe I'll try again with whatever Matt's smoking. You know, Matt doesn't smoke. It's just so...
Brain damage.
That's
regular old brain damage. That's all it is. Matt also believes, and we were talking about this, and he believes that... he's actually morphed John Adams into Paul Giamatti. He thinks they're the same person. And so a lot's happening with his brain. And so he's did you know John Adams' father was the commissioner of baseball? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Why do you think I hate John Adams now?
Yeah. Because his father was the president
Bart
of Yale.
Giamatti.
And fuck Bart Giamatti.
That is an absolute clean thing. But I just wanted to tee that up as a question to Moynihan on the John Adams thing and other things that have to do with historical revolutionary Boston. What is the accent game there? Do people try to Wahlberg family at some times, or they
it's the early days before the development of the Boston accent, which is a hilarious bastardization of an English accent, and particular kind of areas in England too. It has you see a lot of parallels with it, but no, it's amazing when you see these things. And I watched that John Adams thing when it came out, which is probably 20 years ago. It's a long. Yeah, it seems 20 years ago. But I seem to remember it all being Bart Giamatti's son, and that's what I'm going to call him, just Bart Giamatti's son, doing things I'm John Adams, that kind of accent, which is did everyone really talk like that? But it's always wondered how you get a sense of those accents with no recordings of them. Is it what is that accent after a couple of generations? If you're from the House of Burgesses in Virginia to the Constitution, the convention in Philadelphia, is there a huge change from late 1600s to 100 years later? Is that where you get are you getting a bit of Boston accent at that point? Is everyone getting a little bit white trash in the colonies? And everyone's the British are tax them more because have you heard them? They sound complete idiots. They'll fall for it. And they're what are you talking about? My tea? Fucking retarded. They'll be retarded. But that's, I don't know. I think it's mostly, wait, hold on. Sorry. My camera just screwed up. I think it's mostly just weird, posh British accents that American, but you do remember that in films in the 1930s, American actors always did British accent, Katharine Hepburn and people like that. Watch the Philadelphia Story, and with the exception of Jimmy Stewart, I'm just making a movie, and everyone else is like, "Oh my God, Jimmy!" It's very, very odd that Americans thought everyone talked like that for a little bit in films.
And then, but then you had the counter, Jimmy Cagney character.
Who was
Looney Tunes.
Yeah. It's It's so, I was like, Marr. Like that's that accent. What accent is it? Marr. It's just that. So dumb.
Monan, are you warmed up yet? Do you want me to tee you up with a dissident dialogue email?
Sure.
Go ahead. Let's just start with a flattering one. But that is not flattering, I think, to Bree. Let's go up here. Sorry for the time as I scroll.
How many people wrote in saying that they loved her and thought she did a great job and Moynihan was terrible?
No one, not one. I will point out that one commenter who shall go nameless for his own benefit has confessed to having a long, just like horrifying crush on her. Although he did admit that he had to stop after October 7th. Okay, this one comes from Bart, which is a great name.
Bart Giamatti.
Bartha with an H. Very satisfying to see you, Michael, confront Brianna Joy Gray at the debate. I have to admit that I hate Watch Her on Rising.
Ooh, all right, if you want to hear the rest of that, talk about the experience of that debate with Brianna Joy Gray. And one thing that was said afterwards that deeply offends me and is a mischaracterization and just basically a lie. And that really pisses me off when people do that. So if you want to hear me bitch about that, then go over to wethefifth.substack.com and subscribe. It really helps us out a lot and we really appreciate it. And, you know, for those of you who are subscribers, you won't hear this because this is just for the preview episode. But I do want to say that I really appreciate the number of people that came up to me after that debate and the panel I did the following day who were subscribers, who were listeners, and it was really overwhelming, and I really appreciate it. You were all incredibly kind, and we hope we can reciprocate sometime soon beyond just giving you the best content in the business. All right, go over and subscribe. If you haven't, I don't know. You don't have to, but it would be great if you did.